This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Happy New Year and welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch. Thank you for stopping by the show. Today, we're going to start our new year show off with a good friend of Fed Access, Linda Rick. She's co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They run AviewCentral.com, which is a job site, and they run a number of different applications for federal government and other employers and other things like that. But we're going to start off with Linda. Linda's always very, very insightful about what's going on with the federal government, not only because she has contracts with the federal government, but also because she monitors things within the federal workforce and everything else. Happy New Year, Linda.
Happy New Year, Derek. Glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you. Hey, 2012, I know we all kind of took a break and kind of relaxed, and now it's time to get back into the fray. Let's talk about Linda Rick's predictions for 2012. What are you looking at, Linda? You're talking to employers, you're talking to federal employers, you're seeing some kind of, some trends of where they're going. You're also looking at things from federal job seekers, and you're maybe seeing some trends. What are some of the things that we need to look at and be concerned about or either be hopeful for 2012?
Yeah, I think there are, everybody's worried, obviously, about the budget cuts and what will happen as a result of that, how it will impact people. And I think we're starting to see some definitive impact, not just in the federal workforce, but with the contractor community as well. And when you think about the federal government and how it works and operates, about twice as many contractors are dependent on federal budget dollars as federal employees, so in terms of volume, quantity.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing I think people are anxious about what that all means and how that will all spin out at the end of the day. We're starting to see some, I think sort of preparatory activity around that. You've seen some agencies, in fact, last fiscal year, go under a hiring freeze, or some agencies called it a hiring pause. Some people called it, just let's slow it down until we have some budget certainty on 2012, much less 2013. But I think the expectation is that as people are working through the budget process, that we're definitely going to be looking at some form of scaling back spending.
With the scale back of spending, if I'm, kind of the federal job seeker and I'm out there, looking and kind of, because there has been a slowdown, even looking at USA Jobs. I mean, there's kind of been a slowdown, like you said, of the number of jobs that are posted out there. And over the holidays, sometimes that happens. But are we looking at a situation, both in federal government as well as government contractor, where there are going to be fewer jobs out there? I mean, for the federal job seeker, what can you anticipate, maybe for the next several months of 2012? And, asking the next question, because Linda, as I'm reading through some of these, legislation and some of the budgets and everything else, mm-hmm. I'm seeing some agencies starting to swing towards technical stuff more, more towards cyber, more towards research and development, more towards those areas. What's your take on that?
I think there are a couple things that are happening that are kind of interesting. One is the effect of the cuts definitively will be that there will be fewer jobs and fewer job opportunities.
Okay.
Even agencies right now that are hiring are going to start reshaping how they hire and what they're hiring for. And I think you are correct that when it comes to a choice between a mission-critical, meaning line mission job, versus a mission support job, you're going to see the emphasis on filling in the technical skill areas. So that's something that I think is just a sign of the times. It happens almost every time the the government goes through any type of budget reductions. And okay. I think this is probably the maybe the third time in my career that I've seen this cycle occur. And so the first thing you start to see is people start stockpiling vacancies.
Mm-hmm.
Because
and when you say stockpiling vacancies, I mean, explain that for people who may not, because I know you used to work kind of in that OPM dynamic. What are you saying when you say stockpiling?
Stockpiling vacancies is the first thing an agency does if they have budget uncertainty. What that means is they don't fill positions and they wait. And they reserve the number of open slots in a pending status.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason to do that is so that the most harmful thing to employees, the most impactful thing in terms of adverse impact on employees is a reduction in force. And what the private sector will call layoffs. The problem that we have with the federal government is it's a convoluted set of rules and regulations, and not only is it the most adversely impactful, it is also the most expensive. So it costs a great deal of money to run a RIF, and if you get in a position where your agency has to actually do a reduction of force, it usually means that you are going to have to cut more individuals, more people will lose their jobs in order to just pay for the cost of running the reduction of force.
Okay.
Okay, so that invokes like lump sum payments. It invokes severance pay and other impacts to the budget. So agencies try to position so that that is the option of last resort.
Mm-hmm.
And one way they do that is they try to offset by stockpiling vacancies.
Okay. Okay.
So you will see hiring slow down in times of uncertainty, and you may see it slow down particularly later in the year as folks start to enter into 2013, which does not look good from a budget standpoint.
Okay.
So this trend of
budget and kind of right sizing government, really, you know, we're kind of, you know, in this presidential election mode as well. No matter who wins office, we're probably still going to be looking at the right sizing of government.
I think so.
Okay.
You know, I think it's a part of it is with ending the war in Iraq,
mm-hmm.
Where you just don't have the expenditure level.
Right.
That you've needed to have in the past. And then part of it is political uncertainty with the elections and not knowing how that's going to end up. And that causes people to adopt a more lower risk profile.
Okay.
And that includes wait and see.
Okay.
So let's just hold on to what we have.
Okay.
And then the second thing I am seeing that is on the upside of this is as agencies do go through the process of trying to accommodate these cuts, you will see more early out retirements, more buyouts.
Right.
And that's, of course, been a trend in the last maybe 18 months or so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Pretty hot trend, actually. And one thing that does is even though a lot of the postings that you will see for the government are going to be higher grade level postings.
Okay.
What typically happens is when somebody exits from the top of their career, so they tend to be higher graded, and they tend to have more years of service, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they've worked their way up. They tend to be higher graded, and those are the folks that tend to then exit from government service.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is a process typically where those positions are not filled from external sources. They're filled from within.
Okay. So more promotions and other people coming up. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's usually 2.5 promotions for every person who exits at the top.
Okay.
Okay. So the situation is not dire for people who want to be promoted up, who may in fact have been kind of stagnating at a grade mm-hmm. level because there have not been a lot of opportunities at the higher grades.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll see more opportunities for internal promotions. Then you'll see a lot more opportunities at the entry level.
Okay.
And those will not have the standard form of advertising that you tend to see in USA Jobs because these are going to be programs that are filled with various types of internships, work study. They're going to be filled probably by things like veteran
okay.
Hiring initiatives. So those are alternative methods of filling those jobs.
We're starting to see a process of certain levels, certain points of entry, you know, where, like you just mentioned, internship programs and other things like that. There'll be a selection from that group. There'll be the veterans group. But the points of entry will be a situation where you will have to be part of a select group, or I mean, what is that? Do you have to be a veteran? Do you have to be a student, a graduate student, or can a general job seeker also still expect to see those open points of entry, the entry level jobs?
I think it'll be both.
Okay.
I do think that if you are coming out of college right now with a technical background,
okay,
engineering, anything in IT,
okay.
Because clearly the shift is from conventional warfare to cyber war.
Mm-hmm.
You're starting to see this real big shift to the government is getting very focused on how does technology reduce our operating cost.
Right.
So the emphasis is going to be on technical skill sets like that. The other area of emphasis, very, very big, is mobile apps.
Okay.
So I think that it's certain skill sets, and it's also certain categories. I think veterans is obviously going to be a very big category, particularly with the drawdown. I know, in our home state, we have a large military installation here, Joint Base Lewis-McChord.
Mm-hmm, 'cause you're out in the Washington area, right?
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And they're expecting, they are trying to place right now 40,000 people.
Okay, wow.
So you got on the one hand, I think more opportunities, the shift in focus will be towards these other types of opportunities. I think you're right. The technical skill set will be emphasized more than administrative or generalized skills.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got this shift occurring, and you're going to see a lot more entry-level jobs, I think, start to open up. The flip side of that is it's a very competitive market.
So you will see a good number. You may have 2,000 entry level jobs open up across, but you got 40,000 workers.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a good and a bad happen at the same time.
Right.
Hold that thought real quick,
okay.
And I want to talk because you mentioned something about kind of emerging technologies, mobile apps, and where we're headed with certain things. I want to talk about that when we come back off of the break. We're talking to Linda Ricks. We're talking about predictions 2012. What's going to happen with the federal workforce, the federal market, federal jobs? What's going to be going on over this whole year as we start thinking about presidential elections, budget situations, and everything else? We're talking to Linda Ricks. She's co-CEO of A-View Technologies. They run A-View Central. com, which is a federal job site that you can find positions and also apply for positions on there. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Here's Frank Konechny, the CTO of the U.S. Air Force, on the Federal Executive Forum on Emerging Technologies, sponsored by EMC.
As we come out with more devices, we have to be able to send the data to that device. And so what you're going to see someone is more of an IP cellular network in the sky, where we're all going to interlink with each other. But again, security, data, big data, quick response time, and the devices are all key essential elements that we are going to see in the future.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Virtualization delivers big benefits, but traditional storage and backup can't handle the increased demands of virtual environments. Get on track with EMC Next Generation Unified Storage and Backup, optimized for VMware. Run virtual applications 3 times faster and reduce VMware backup times by 90%. Streamline with VM management and single-step restores. Decrease application storage by 50% and reduce backup storage by 40 to 60 times. EMC products available on GSA through government acquisitions.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The Army is moving toward launching its own app store exclusively for intelligence users. By 2014, the service plans to roll out a number of new features to its distributed common ground system for intelligence collection and analysis. Among them will be an app mall that will let members of the Army intelligence community select widgets that tap into the centralized intelligence system the Army's building. As of now, Army officials say the system's aggregating data from 317 separate intelligence sources.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology, information technology, and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
I'm Beyonce with an important message about hunger in America. Did you know 1 in 8 people struggle with hunger? Over 12 million children live in homes where there isn't always enough food. Food banks are experiencing more demand than ever. Show Your Helping Hand is a nationwide campaign with the goal of helping Feeding America deliver millions of meals to local food banks. Please join me in showing a helping hand to fight hunger. More information is available at showyourhelpinghand.com.
On the move but need your CAPS info? CAPS Mobile lets you use your mobile phone to stay connected to the CAPS. Receive breaking news and special offers by text message. Check live scores and stats with a CAPS mobile app. Enter Text to Win contest for great CAPS prizes and much more. To join the CAPS mobile club, text CAPS to 43803 now. For more info on all CAPS mobile offerings, visit the Fan Zone section of WashingtonCAPS.com. Stay CAPS connected with CAPS Mobile.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
The job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been talking about predictions 2012. What's going to be happening with the federal market and the federal workforce market and federal jobs as we're going into this year of 2012? We're in the first week, but we've got a long way to go and a lot of exciting things, a lot of some maybe troubling things, but a lot of hopefully will be out there for federal job seekers and other people out there and veterans. We're talking to Linda Ricks. She's co-CEO of AVIEW Technologies. They run AVIEWCentral.com, which is a federal job site that kind of works along with a lot of different agencies for people to find jobs and apply for jobs. Linda, you know, you're talking to these agencies, and you mentioned something in the first segment about mobile apps. You know, everybody's getting their iPad. Everybody, you know, is getting their you know, Droid Bionic or whoever the case is, their Droid phones or tablets. Is that something that you're focusing on as well?
Yeah, we have released a handful of mobile apps that are just markedly new types of applications that are really used. Ours are built for the iPad.
Okay.
And what we've done is we've created executive command centers so that real-time data can be fed to their iPads, and they can see the status of their workforce, they can see their geographic locations, they can see their costs, they can see their hiring momentum. They can look at and do a variety of different forms of analytics, not just about their workforce, but, you know, things like their contractor workforce, real-time organizational charts. These are apps that that we have developed for the iPad.
Okay.
In addition to that, we've built some specialized applications that will be offered through the App Store.
Okay.
And those are related, there are tools for supervisors and managers in the government. One's a very interesting way to look at things like employee discipline and performance management, telecommuter readiness. those kinds of things.
So put it to me, and let me help it kind of envision it. If, you know, I'm looking at my iPad right now. If I had one of, and we've seen the kind of the iPad apps for like USA Jobs, where people can apply mm-hmm. or look for jobs online, and I know Indeed, and you have yours. Are you going to have, is yours more kind of for the back end user, like you said, for more the executive of an agency, and you're getting to see all these things? Or are you also having one for the front end user, more who's a job seeker as well, where they can look for things online through your app? I mean, are you doing it for both, or is more for that kind of decision maker?
Right now, we're doing it for decision makers and for, in essence, the management of federal agencies.
Got you. Okay. Okay.
And then we're working right now on, we had built out functionality in our application side, where applicants could use their LinkedIn profiles
okay.
to apply for federal jobs. We are the first and only to do that.
Okay. Okay.
And so now we're looking at it in terms of trying to push government hiring into a framework that is based on social networking instead of based on the traditional type of process that the government's been dependent on in the past. And that's when we'll probably come up with something that's more than job search using your mobile device. I think job search and applying are things that are pretty common to see in mobile devices, but they're also really easy to access with your mobile device web browser.
Right.
So there's not a lot of value, inherent value, in doing that via a mobile app, but there is a lot of value in terms of being able to use a smartphone more effectively with how you apply.
Okay. Okay.
And how you find out about job information. So we're also implementing QR code readers.
Mm-hmm.
So we're implementing QR codes on all of our vacancy announcements.
Is in terms of, so now people can you know, is that the one where people can take the snapshot?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it just flips you right to that at that job.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're starting to do that with all vacancy announcements?
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
And so and we're also doing that in support of our customers out to job fairs.
Okay.
So when they host a job fair, they'll just have a poster up, and they'll just have a QR code on it.
So you on a sheet of paper, possibly, or mm-hmm. even possibly in, on their banners, you can find jobs, whatever the case is, a person can just take their smartphone, you know, put it up to the thing, take the snapshot,
yep.
and then it pops right back up.
Yep.
Wow. Wow.
So that's a much more effective way
okay.
Of getting the kind of traffic. Typically what happens at a job fair is, an agency will go, they'll collect a bunch of paper resumes,
mm-hmm.
You know, business cards and other information, and then they ship the boxes back and nothing ever happens.
And they just sit in a box and people wonder what happened to their resume at the job fair.
Right.
They didn't get a call back and everything else, right?
Right. And we just experimented with this. We did the first one over at Congressman Reichert and Congressman Smith in the Seattle area, just hosted a huge King County job fair.
Okay.
And I think there were a few 100,000 people that showed up.
Wow.
And we had a booth, a pavilion just for veterans.
Okay.
And it focused exclusively on veterans hiring, and we set up a portal that would link to all of the various veteran-specific organizations, and we partnered with the American Legion to do that. And all we did was we put up the posters, and we put up the QR code,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and people would come by, and they'd see the backdrop, and they snapshot the QR code, and then we handed them a single card about the size of a bookmark.
Okay.
And it had the QR code, and then it had the URL.
Wow.
And that was it.
And did you see a lot of people, you know, out there kind of snapshotting it? I mean, you know, did people understand?
If they knew, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
No, we also had our folks there with their smartphones
mm-hmm.
demoing it for them.
Got it. Okay.
So they picked that up, but I'll tell you, if you're a busy shopper,
mm-hmm.
you know what a QR code is.
Right. Yeah.
How you're getting all your discounts.
Exactly. Would you say for a job seeker out there right now, whether it be federal employee or you know, or somebody who's not a federal, who's trying to be federal, maybe thinking about government contracting,
mm-hmm.
are we getting to a point? You know, and you know, our agencies, you know, some agencies are putting things on USA Jobs, but our agencies, you mentioned LinkedIn and other places, are agencies really starting to kind of spread their wings out a little bit in terms of where they're posting jobs and what they're doing in terms of recruiting? Are you seeing that more and more?
No.
Okay.
in a word, we're not seeing that in the HR community. We are seeing it with hiring managers.
Okay.
So,
there's a distinct difference between that and what you just said. I mean, and people think they're working together. So the HR community is resistant, from what I'm hearing.
The HR community is very used to the status quo.
Okay.
So they are, a great deal of time is consumed in the hiring process on perfecting the vacancy announcement.
Okay.
A great deal of time is spent on things that are very traditional. And that consumes a lot of labor.
But we're not seeing change, Linda. We're not seeing plain language job announcements. We're not seeing all the things that were supposedly being promised. I mean, we're still seeing the same kind of job announcements that we saw 3-5 years ago. I mean, we're not seeing anything significant.
Right. And one of the reasons for that is because even though OPM says they want hiring process reform, they have a group of people who do nothing but look at vacancy announcements and then chastise the agency if there is language they don't like in the announcement.
Wow.
And we're not talking about a regulatory violation. We're not talking about something that is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about something that does not comport with their idea of a good practice. And when you have that kind of oversight at that granular level, where people are highlighting words in the vacancy announcement, at that point, it's very hard for HR to say, "Well, we're going to go with a new style,
right?
We're going to try social networking instead of having everybody go over and go through a federal process." We're going to go social networking and recruit that way.
Mm.
And that has that just does not happen. And the other thing that doesn't happen that I think is really unfortunate is agencies don't go out and survey the market in their recruiting. So they don't, for example, go and say, if we wanted to really get serious about improving the cybersecurity workforce, let's go out and examine what kind of people would be interested in these jobs? How do we cultivate interest and cultivate a relationship with people who are interested in or who know other people who are interested in these kinds of jobs? That only happens, recruitment starts after the posting, and it should start, well in advance, so you know exactly what kind of talent is out there and available for you.
We're going to take a quick break. I want to come back to what we were just kind of talking about, because you just mentioned about the role of the hiring manager and there's resistance. But what you're saying you're hearing from, I mean, the role of the HR person, as I was, and their resistance. But what you're saying is that the hiring managers, they want to see change.
Right.
They want to push forward and use the LinkedIn and use social media. So you got these two forces who are fighting each other. I want to talk about that a little bit more. Maybe how do we get past, what is seeming to be the trend and what seeming that people want to go into? And how do we move past this archaic way of job announcements? We're talking to Linda Ricks. She's co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They run aviewcentral.com, which is a federal job site where you can apply for federal jobs from a whole bunch of different areas. On there, we're talking about predictions 2012. We're talking about what's coming up. We're talking about what is going to be happening with the federal workforce, federal jobs, veteran hiring, and everything else under the sun when it comes to federal jobs. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. George on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. Please join me this week for my special guest, Paul Pagnotto of the Pagnotto Carp Group of Hightower Advisors. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area. If you'd like to get in touch with us, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. Frank Shalufo, Associate Vice President and Director, Homeland Security Policy Institute at the George Washington University, commented during the panel discussion entitled Cyber Power, Which Nations Will Emerge as the Cyber Powers of the 21st Century? Brought to you by Booz Allen Hamilton.
There's a big difference between cyber terrorism and terrorist use of cyberspace, which is primarily intended to enhance and facilitate their tradecraft, whether it's for communications purposes, whether it's to fundraise, whether it's to do targeting analysis.
To hear the entire show, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Booz Allen.
Booz Allen Hamilton believes that cybersecurity is no longer just about protecting assets, but about enabling organizations to take full advantage of the vast opportunities that the ecosystem of cyberspace now offers for business, government, and virtually every aspect of our society. Count on Booz Allen to help you be ready for what's next. Learn more at boozallen.com/expertvoices.
The Pentagon and Beyond is brought to you by EADS North America.
President Barack Obama and top Pentagon officials unveiled a new military designed to reduce the size of the U.S. armed forces to fit the tight economic times. But at a Pentagon news conference, he pledged to maintain the U.S. as the world's dominant military power. Some programs are going to be cut, but Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Martin Dempsey declined to point out which ones would actually be cut. I'm J.J. Green.
We have a capsized boat, 2 people in the water.
Every day, EADS North America builds and supports helicopters for the Coast Guard, Army, National Guard, Navy, and Customs and Border Protection.
Rescue swimmer is in the water.
EADS delivers helicopters that save lives every day, including those bright orange Coast Guard helicopters you see patrolling our nation's capital.
We got them. We're heading back.
EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
With the new year comes resolutions, when we resolve to stop snacking and slacking, resolve to start reading and running. This year, resolve to help someone else too. Resolve to support the American Red Cross, because the Red Cross provides hope, help, and compassion not only during disasters, but every day. Resolve to do something that means something. Support the American Red Cross before the new year. Visit redcross.org today.
We simultaneously celebrate as the clock strikes midnight on New Year's. Now bacteria are being engineered to do something similar. Potential applications range from environmental sensors to medical therapies. Engineers are building genetic clocks in bacteria inspired by cell machinery that creates our circadian rhythm.
We rely on the same kind of design principles that nature has adopted via evolution.
Jeff Hasty, a University of California bioengineer, is using bacteria with fluorescent proteins and setting genetic timers that trigger them to glow on and off at certain intervals. Then, through fast-moving gases,
each cell communicates the phase of its clock to other cells, which cause the cells to beat synchronously.
Hasty says enough cells would create a visible sensor that could
change the period of the clock in response to some pathogen that's in the environment.
The concept might also lead to fine-tuning of medical applications like gene therapy. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. George from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been talking about predictions 2012 and predictions as it relates to the federal workforce, federal jobs, and federal hiring. We're talking to Linda Ricks. She is co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They run AviewCentral.com, which is a federal hiring site where you can find jobs, but then you can also apply the jobs through their simple process as well. Linda, you know, we were just kind of talking about that whole dynamic, HR versus hiring manager, HR yep. versus HM. so you conversate with both of them. What's the hiring manager saying to you?
Hiring managers are trying to get the very best talent. You know, I always use this analogy, the chicken and egg, the chicken pig analogy,
mm-hmm.
where they're on the farm and the chicken says to the pig, "We should open a restaurant and serve breakfast." And the pig turns to the chicken and says, yeah, but if we do that, you know, you're involved, but I'm committed because I'm the bacon.
Right.
So,
right.
So I look at hiring managers the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're committed. You know, they're not just involved.
Right.
And so they're trying to get the very, very best talent they can.
Right.
Because it's a long-term commitment that they're making to an individual.
Right.
And part of that means that they are very willing to examine different ways of reaching the right kind of person that they are interested in terms of skill set and aptitude and everything else that they're interested in hiring. So you see them generally be more progressive. I'm more willing to try things. Also, what I find is, especially at the senior level in government, almost all of those managers and executives are on LinkedIn.
Okay.
So they know how it works, and you can see, you know, the ability for them to use social networking tools, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, as ways to communicate, and they do this typically to communicate for a whole lot of reasons, but they're, I think, more comfortable with the technology. I think they are also more likely to see it as a way to reach a broader community and audience. And I think they're just more adaptive along those lines. I don't think that the HR community yet realizes the value of social networking to their work and to what they do.
They think it's going to put more work on them?
Partly.
Okay.
You know, I think part of it is, good grief, if we did that, we'd get thousands of applicants.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
I don't know about anybody else, but if you're not getting hundreds, if not thousands of applicants, then you're already there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to change that circumstance to you, but it may change qualitatively who is interested,
mm-hmm.
and you know how you can express what you need in the position.
And do you hear from hiring managers? And I hear this sometimes that they feel like you just mentioned that they're getting, you know, quantity, but they're not getting quality.
Yes.
And is, yep. I mean, and is that because the people who they're looking for are they may only be on LinkedIn, they may only be on the social media, they're not really going to USA Jobs or other things? I mean, is that the reason?
I don't know that that's the exclusive reason, but I think it is one of many. I think partly there's that. The second is, and this is kind of a real insider point of view here, but over the last 4 or 5 years, OPM has really radically changed the qualification standards for federal jobs. And in the process of doing that, they have removed technical knowledges and skills. And they have gone in favor of trying to hire people with stronger interpersonal skills.
Mm-hmm.
Part of what you're seeing is, while on the one hand it makes jobs more accessible to a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't really help them because they get screened out later in the process when the hiring manager gets the list and says, whoa, 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 none of these folks have the core skills that I'm looking for. And the response is, well, OPM doesn't require them to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the problem. And that's probably one of the bigger challenges right now is getting OPM to understand that the qualification requirements need to focus on hard skills.
Okay.
And that is how you get a better set. Now, there are other ways to compensate for that with subsequent assessment and screening processes.
Mm-hmm.
But what that does is it elongates the hiring cycle time. So agencies don't want to use those subsequent processes because they want to be able to report that they're improving their cycle time.
Okay. Is a hiring manager, I mean, you know, when they're bumping, you've been in this dynamic and you hear from hiring managers, how do we change this, Linda? You know, we've got two different forces. We got the hiring managers who say, I want to use social media, I want to recruit this way. We've got HR people, not all of them, but some of them who are giving a pushback. Where does the real change come from? Because if I guess I'm asking the question that I'm troubled with, you know, that, you know,
right.
how do we really make change?
I think one thing that has to happen is you really have to see a push from management. Management really needs to push and say, we want to, we do want to examine our options here.
Okay.
And any flexibilities we have, and we want to push for more flexibility. OPM has to change, and right. that push can only come from their bosses and from members of Congress that want to push for an actual improvement to the hiring process, not a cosmetic improvement to the hiring process.
Right.
And so what I think has to happen is you've got to have this external push, because the mechanisms that reinforce the status quo are extremely strong. So if you want to change the status quo, you have to either exert an equal or greater amount of pressure a different way from a different source, or you've got to make sure that there's no reward for the maintenance of the status quo. So several things have to change, but I do see people much more willing to talk about social networking as the method, and who are curious about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if enough people who are, thought leaders and people who, like you, that have a media presence, talk about it and constructively say, this is not merely a fad. This is not merely an accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually a very effective and very efficient way that we can go about the hiring process. And there is no reason that we can't use it.
Right.
There is no barrier to its use other than acceptance.
Hold that right there. We're
okay.
going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this break. We're talking to Linda Ricks. She's co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They run AviewCentral.com. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. George on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
We raise high for GW basketball. Some raise high with the jump out of your seat, buzzer beating, hands to the sky scream. Others give their all in the GW fight song, Raising High the Buff and Blue. Raising High is more than just a movement. It's the movement for Colonials basketball, where senators and students, friends and families come together for the thrill of victory. Raise High with GW Basketball today. Call 202-994-7325 or visit gwsports.com now.
In the beloved fairy tale Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly 1 in 3 children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Ad Council.
You hear the sounds of hammers and saws, but it's also the sound of freedom and independence. Across America, people are supporting Homes for Our Troops build specially adapted homes for our severely injured veterans. Now, it's your turn to help Sergeant Stephen Kiernan, who lost both legs while serving in Iraq. He volunteered to protect our freedom. You can volunteer your time, donate materials, or make a cash donation to this effort. Visit homesforourtroops.org or call 866-7-TROOPS.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies. and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Here's Frank Konechny, the CTO of the U.S. Air Force, on the Federal Executive Forum on Emerging Technologies, sponsored by EMC.
As we come out with more devices, we have to be able to send the data to that device. And so what you're going to see somewhat is more of an IP cellular network in the sky, where we're all going to interlink with each other. But again, security, data, big data, quick response time, and the devices are all key essential elements that we are going to see in the future.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Virtualization delivers big benefits, but traditional storage and backup can't handle the increased demands of virtual environments. Get on track with EMC Next Generation Unified Storage and Backup, optimized for VMware. Run virtual applications 3 times faster and reduce VMware backup times by 90%. Streamline with VM management and single-step restores. Decrease application storage by 50% and reduce backup storage by 40 to 60 times. EMC products available on GSA through government acquisitions.
Register today for Affirm's luncheon on Friday, January 13th, and hear from the new U.S. CIO, Stephen Van Roekel, in a fireside chat with Affirm president and CIO from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, Darren Ash. In his first major address inside the Capitol Beltway, Van Roekel will discuss the role of technology in closing that widening productivity gap between government and industry. That's January 13th at the Sofitel Hotel, McPherson Square, from 11:30 to 1 p.m. This briefing is sure to be a sellout, so register today, Affirm.
This is Mark Amtower. For 27 years, I've advised hundreds of large and small contractors on the best marketing tactics to reach key government buyers and influencers. Collectively, my clients have made billions of dollars by maximizing the value of their contracts. If you need to maximize the value of your GSA schedule, GWAC, or IDIQ, or you need to raise your overall visibility in the government market, we need to talk. Make certain your marketing budget pays major dividends. Contact me at federaldirect.net.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been talking about the federal workforce. What are the predictions of 2012 in terms of federal hiring, in terms of what's going to happen with veteran hiring, anything else? We're talking to Linda Ricks. She's co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They run AviewCentral.com, which is a federal job site. Linda, I know we were just kind of talking about kind of the change, you know, changing the dynamic. And maybe in 2012, you know, maybe in 2012, maybe we can get a little bit of this change as it relates to the schism between hiring manager versus HR official, and maybe begin using social media and other things. I wanted to go in, because we got a few minutes, what's happening at Aview Technologies? What are you guys working on with Aview Central? What's happening that, you know, is exciting for 2012?
Yeah, I think our big push right now is mobile apps, mm-hmm. and being able to do those kinds of things that feed information in real time to people who need to make decisions in real time. And the other is to take a look at social networking, not just in the sense of recruiting and hiring, but also in the sense of communicating government to citizen, communicating when issues are occurring, and being able to use that as a way for the agency to extend its ability to reach people and communicate in a real-time fashion. So we're really pushing in that direction, and we're getting a lot more focus around things like planning, budgeting, making sure that information is available to people who are looking at some of these tougher decisions that have to be made relative to workforce and coming budgets, what that might entail.
And so you're seeing the executives, you know, really, because I know even with your program, you guys give the executives an iPad to work with your tools already installed on there and everything else. You really are seeing that the executives are jumping on their iPad, they're using it, they're evaluating certain pieces in terms of the hiring process. And you even mentioned with this, since this is kind of 2012, it sounds like decision-making intelligence or decision-making information mm-hmm. is going to be the big push.
I think it's going to be the big push, and I think it's two things. We've technologically we've been able to cross over, and a lot of that has to do with things like mobile apps, and a lot of that has to do with the extensive use of the internet. You know, so here's a statistic for you. If Facebook were a country, it would be the third most populous country in the world.
Wow. Okay. Okay?
So it'd be China, India, and Facebook.
Sure.
Okay. So and even ahead of the United States are Twitter and LinkedIn.
Okay.
In terms of population, so when you start to look at those kinds of technology breakthroughs that we've had, and now you're looking at a focus kind of management problem or issue that you're trying to help solve, I think you realize that the next generation of folks don't just want the iPad because it's cool. There's a high cool factor to it initially, but they see it as an extension of themselves, and they see it as a way to communicate highly efficiently with their staff. And then you've got things like pushing telecommuting to save on government real estate costs.
You're seeing that as being a lot more of a priority in 2012?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, without fail, I think that government sometimes, and I think this is counterintuitive for a lot of people, but I find that the government is frequently an early adopter.
Okay.
Even though people think of it as a laggard. Adopter.
Right. Sure.
Yeah, I find that that's true. But I think one thing that we really need to pay attention to and to focus on relative to the government is technology can make the government so efficient, and that if you maximize its usage, you can absorb a significant cut in your budget without adversely impacting your workforce. If you just look at what technology can do for you, so I think there will be a lot more focus on that because people are going to struggle with how do I, let's face it, the federal workforce has not materially grown in 20 years.
Right.
And there's a lot of talk about it, but itself, it hovers always between 1.8, 1.9 million. So you've got, you really do need to understand that if you want to have a low impact on your payroll and on your employees and you want to retain a capacity in your agency to execute on the mission, then you're going to have to look at technology as a way to absorb, any sort of cuts that take place that you can absorb by being more efficient.
It sounds like 2012 is going to be the year of technology, whether it be using technology as a force multiplier in terms of decision making, as a force multiplier in terms of hiring, whether it be social media, other things, whether it be technology as it relates to cybersecurity and the trends of that and the hiring when it comes to people who are getting in that and the government's focusing on that. It sounds like if we had to make a prediction for 2012, it's going to be a very, very technology driven year.
Yeah, I think it will be technology driven in order for government to meet the challenge of cost reduction.
Outstanding.
I think once you start taking a look at that and once you start getting real time data about performance and metrics on your agency, you can make smart decisions, about how to change and how to improve things. And that's, that's the gift that technology gives people, especially people who are managing fairly complex enterprises.
We'll be checking in with you in the next couple months, Linda, as we go forward, as we always do. We'll be checking in with you again as we keep on going forward to see how this is coming, to see the year of technology that we'll put the predictions here, that the year of technology, and we'll see how it's driving down in 2012. Thank you so much for all the insight, Linda.
You bet. Thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.